some of my songs I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's November 30th, 2010. Tonight we have the brewers from Dew to Seal, the God in Heaven Brewery in Montreal. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's number 43, and Ray Dieters here from DBA. How you doing, Ray? How was your weekend?
My weekend was great. Great Thanksgiving weekend. Ate turkey, drank beer, drank wine.
So what beer did you end up drinking with your turkey?
Oh, boy. You know, what did I have? I had a big bottle of Saison DuPont. That's kind of my go-to beer with meals. I love Saison DuPont. Great beer.
Well, I had some McKellar Czech Pilsner yeast beer that was pretty good. And I was digging some of the Dew to Seal beers myself. I was doing my homework for the show tonight. And I drank some of the Pêche Mortale, which I love, the coffee stout.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're going to just give a shout-out to our sponsor, GreatBrewers.com. It's a great site. You learn more about beer. And it's also a home of a distributor in the Union Beer. They distribute the Dew to Seal. Well, welcome to the show. We've got three cool guys, coolest guys in beer, Stefan Ostagoy, Jean-Francois Gravel, and Luc Lafontaine, also known as Bim. And we met Bim in September. We hosted an event called New York City Brewer's Choice at City Winery for Craft Beer Week, and Dew to Seal came down. Bim was there. And hi, Bim. How are you? Welcome back to New York.
Pretty good. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So you guys have a pretty cool event tomorrow at Blind Tiger. It's one of the better beer events of the week.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. The biggest Dew to Seal event so far in 12 years.
They're going to have more beer than what we have at the brewpub ourselves.
Yeah.
So have they been collecting your beer? Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's pretty much it. Yeah, we knew we had the event a couple months ago, so we did some reserve for that special occasion.
They're really lucky. Blind Tiger really gets the pick of the litter, don't they?
Yeah, but I heard Dave wasn't so lucky this weekend.
Yeah, our regular guest, Dave Broderick, send out your prayers to him. He's a farmer now, too, and he fell off a tree. He hurt himself pretty badly.
Yeah, he should have been here this evening, actually, wasn't he? He was scheduled to be on tonight.
Yeah, we miss you. We miss you, Dave. And I know you're listening, because he's our best listener.
He is the listener.
Yeah. Well, you know, guys came down from Canada just for the show. What's the deal bringing things from Canada to the United States? It's a separate country, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty different. Actually, for us, it's pretty easy because our importer, the Shelton Brothers, does all the job. So, and we do the sale is so small that when we sell outside Quebec, we just tell the people, you know, come pick up the beer. It's in our warehouse. You know, the pallet is there. Come pick it up, and you make whatever you have to do to bring it to where you want it to be. So basically, this is what the Shelton Brothers are doing.
So Dan actually comes up to Canada in his van.
Yeah, in his pickup truck, and
piles it on himself.
Yeah, we're too
small. I've seen him do that.
We're too small to take care of all those custom stuff. And, you know, ourselves, we had some funny stories going to... We often come to the U.S. You know, ourselves, you know, in cars. And we participate also at the Vermont Brewers Fest in the summer. And each time we have to drive with our own truck, you know, bringing the beer and everything. But the funny part about that is beer is not a problem at all. It's all the other stuff, you know, that we need to bring to serve the beer. The bar and the taps and everything and the tools. And we have to declare every single bit of stuff that is that we bring.
And the Cuban cigars and the prescription drugs.
Yeah, that we try to hide, but... 2 years ago, we got busted because we had a few Dew to Seal t-shirt and we didn't declare them. You know, oh my God, we were in big trouble.
If it's made in China, it's a big problem.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. They want to know where everything is coming from. So we have to, okay, this tool is made there, this part is made there, and it's
even t-shirts?
Even t-shirts.
Even rags.
Even rags.
We didn't bring rags because our custom burger said, oh, you know, you don't know where they're from. You know, no, don't bring them.
It's amazing. But prescription drugs are fine, right?
That we can do, yeah.
We'll talk later.
Yeah. All right. So you guys, tell me your names. Say your names each into the microphone and tell us a little bit about how you got involved in beer.
Okay, my name is Stéphane Ostigui. I'm from Montreal, obviously. Actually, I came into beer because I met Jean-François, RGF, my partner and master brewer at the UDCL. We were both studying in microbiology. I was finishing my master's degree. GF was starting his own master's degree, but we ended up working in the same lab. So we met. GF was a home brewer. He got me into good beer. And this is how we finally, a few years later, started out UDCL. And I'll leave the mic to Bim.
Cool.
Hi, my name is Luc Lafontaine, also known as Bim. I've been working for UDCL for 10 years, almost 10 years now. I met these guys at a beer festival in Chambly just a few weeks before they opened. So I went to see them, tried their beer, just fell in love straight away. So after that, I was going on vacation for 2 years, and I said, when I come back, I'm going to work there, which I did. So now I'm the head brewer at UDCL, and these guys are my best friends, so it's great. Good life.
I love you, too.
Oh, jeez, never kiss him. So, Canadians, foreigners.
We're birthday twins, also born on the same date.
Oh, yep. Boy.
Cool.
It gets better and better.
So I'm Jean-François Gravel. I'm the master brewer of UDCL. I basically started as...
Wait, say your name again.
Jean-François Gravel. Most of people call me JF, and it's simple and shorter. I started as home brewer, as so many professional brewer in America. And I basically discovered a beer when the micro started to pop up by the end of the Haiti. I have an uncle traveled a lot, and he showed me that there was different beer than just a Molson or a Labatt's. And I discovered different tastes, basically by import beer first. But when some of the first microbrewery we had, like McCausland in Montreal, so I really enjoyed the flavor of the beer.
Which beer? I'm sorry?
McCausland, you know, McCausland Pale Ale. They're more famous about their stout, McCausland.
I'm not familiar with that.
You're not? Well, it's one of the biggest microbrewery we have in Montreal. Uh-huh. They don't export that much because they basically do a pale ale.
And McCarlson.
McCausland.
McCausland.
McCausland, yeah. So, and then I start homebrewing for fun, and I got passionate by beer and making my own beer. And then Stefan told the rest of the story, basically.
And then you became lovers.
Yeah, kind
Not
of.
Yet.
So that's pretty cool. All right, we got some real guys from Montreal. I think when we first heard about Dudasil last year from BR, who's also BR from Shelton Brothers is here, I didn't believe it. I didn't really think that there would be good beer coming down from Canada, and I was wrong. And now I can't even get your beers. Because they're very rare.
They're really rare.
How much beer do you guys make in 1 year now?
Well, last year we've been able to package like 5,000 hectoliters, so about something like 4,000 barrel. So it's we're a small microbrewery, so that's basically why we...
Wait, folks don't really know what hectoliters are.
Okay.
I mean, you speak of a barrel. Are you talking about a 31 or 32 gallon...
Yes.
American barrel?
Yeah.
Or a 15 and a half, like a keg?
No, I talk about the barrel. So,
barrel, right. Full-size barrel.
So barrel means it's two kegs.
It's right. Basically two kegs. Yeah. Exactly.
And so. Is that liters or is that U.S. gallons? Of course it's liters, right?
Yeah, we're basically working with metric system. So,
right, so it's 100 liters.
So it's 100 liter is one hectoliter, right. And a barrel is like 116 liter. So it's... A barrel is a bit more than a hectoliter.
Right, okay.
So we're pretty much a small microbrewery still. So that's why we have a hard time to supply the demand right now. So we keep part of the production just for the U.S. and we sell most of our stock in Quebec province for sure and some in the other province of Canada. And we're growing up. But in the same time, we focus on the quality of the beer, so we don't want to grow too fast and less interesting beer. So right. It's going to take time before we're going to catch up the demand for.
What's the capacity of your brewery? Like,
it's a 25 hectoliter, so okay. Like a 20 barrel system.
I see.
And we brew twice a day to fill the fermenter. Mm-hmm.
and we have like 12 fermenter right now.
Have you guys got like a brew pub up there or a tasting room?
Actually, we have two breweries. So we start as a brew pub in Montreal, mm-hmm. a really small brew pub. We have like 100 places. We brew, it's like a four-barrel system. So that's why we've been able to deal with so many different beer style, because we have to brew three to four times a week to be able to just right. keep up the demand. And then we made our name this way, mm-hmm. and then like 3 years ago, actually 4 years ago, we decided to move as a packaging brewery, and then we chose to have like a 25 hectoliter system. Something that is big enough to be profitable, but still small enough to be able to do more
keep
challenging
quality, up, right?
mm-hmm. quality and diversity a lot. Mm-hmm. We like to brew different stuff.
So you have a brew pub, but is it also a restaurant? So if I go to Montreal, I can go to the brew pub and have dinner.
It's mostly a pub. So a pub. We do serve
snacks.
Yeah, uh-huh. exactly. So we have sandwiches,
okay,
pizza.
So like when I go to Germany, they have sausages and they have Wiener Schnitzel and all this kind of stuff. And I go to England, they have bangers and mash and they have fish and chips.
Yeah.
When you go to Montreal, when you go to Canada, what's like the thing that you'd get?
Nachos.
Cheese plate.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true. I think every brew pub serves nachos.
So you recommend, like, I would have a pint of your beer, and now I get some nachos.
No,
some
I think the best thing to get at either our brew pubs, either Montreal or Saint Jerome, where the production brewery is probably the Quebec cheese plate.
Quebec cheese plate.
Yeah, yeah. It's very very nice cheeses. And
is there a good cheese culture in?
Oh yeah, more and more, and uh-huh. I think there's more and more breweries opening in Quebec, and there's a parallel, you know, with the cheese industry, and for the last 10 years, it's been exploding with cheeses in Quebec, and I think we have...
What about Canadian bacon?
good question. I know Quebec is a big pork producer to our own demise, because it's a lot of pollution.
Do you have a beer that would go good with Canadian bacon?
Well, our smoked beer would probably yes. get fit with the Canadian bacon.
Oh, you do a Rush beer?
Yeah, we do actually. Oh,
wow. Did you bring some today? Do we have any here?
Yeah, let's talk about the beer that we're drinking right now. It's the Route de Spice. Is that how you pronounce it?
Route des Épices. That's a peppercorn beer. So it's a rye and peppercorn. So it's quite spicy, but not that much. It's mostly like the aroma of the peppercorn we try to get mixed with the rye character in this beer. It's a beer that's fit pretty well actually for food, because it's a pretty nice matchup with different meat.
Yeah, it's really good.
Mostly smoked meat.
I'm indicating I want to try some.
And we can toast too. Let's toast on air.
Yeah, sure.
That's always fun. Cool.
Cheers.
Yeah, thank you. We really think highly of your beer, and I think that cheers. You know, also the number of really good beers that you make. I mean, every one I've had of yours. I've had the Equinox, the Pretemps.
The Pretemps, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I'll say it in English and you say
it's
it in
okay.
French. And the Pêche Mortale is one of my favorites.
Yeah. Well,
me too.
I think it's a pretty nice thing about having a small brew pub. It means that we had to brew really often. So even now, after 12 years, we're still fine-tuning our recipe. We never say, okay, it's done, it's perfect. I don't think something is never really perfect. You know, it's still, okay, can we work on this? Can we work on that? We are still today, we're doing some fine-tuning. So when you do small batches, that means you have to rework on your recipe pretty often. So it gives us a chance to try.
I got to say, this, which beer is this that we're drinking?
The Route des Épices.
I can taste the peppercorns in it, and in a good way. It's amazing.
Yeah, we use a lot, but it's a mix of green and black peppercorn.
Uh-huh.
So we try to really have the complex character of the peppercorn, not necessarily something too hot, but just a mild.
Do you grind them, or do you let the whole corn go in?
Well, we really coarsely grind it, so okay. just to hope.
Then you have to filter it out. That must be a onerous process.
Well, it's not the most problem with that beer. So it's rye is a bit a hard cereal to work with in mash.
Sure. Pretty viscous.
It's really viscous. Yeah. Viscous, so right. We use a lot of rye in that beer. So
I love this beer. It's really great.
Thank you. But well, me and JF are always fighting about this beer because he's he eats a lot of spicy food. I love spicy food also, but maybe a lot less spicy. So it's always too much for me and never enough for JF. So
after
a few years, we came to, a balance, an interesting balance.
I think it's really well balanced. There's a bit of a bite to it, but I wouldn't call it spicy. I would call it a nice yeah, nice balanced bite.
I think it's the result with the fight. It's just tried to find the right balance. And
right. And also, I got to say, the Pêche Martel, that's like a great breakfast beer. It goes really good with cornflakes.
With a cornflake, I never tried it.
No, Pêche Martel is, I love this beer. I think it's an amazing beer. I think it's those two beers, Pêche Martel and Route des Épices, really shows, you know, what JF is so good at, you know, mixing different flavors together. And when he has an idea, you know, in his head, in his mind, he's very good at, you know, translating this, you know, into something physical, you know, brewing a beer and getting the right balance between all the taste. And this is what I've tasted, you know, from the start, even when JF was home brewing. I think that's why I started a brewpub with him, actually, because I love this beer. And after 12 years, it's still the case. So,
you guys are cool. These are pretty cool guys, aren't they, Ray? You guys are the spiritual dudes. You got Dude Sale, it means God in Heaven Brewery. This is a very cool evening. We're just getting started. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Listen to some cool music with some cool guys from Dude Seal up in Montreal. The question I wanted to ask you, which has been on everyone's mind, is what's the difference between beer culture and laws and history in Canada and the United States? I mean, we had prohibition in America, we had prohibition in Canada. Tell us a little bit about the last 100 years of,
I'm not an historian, but I know there was some prohibition also in Quebec, unless I'm wrong, Jeff.
Well, they deal with the problem differently.
But never in Quebec.
Yeah, we never had a prohibition the same way you had in the States. But they made a lot of law to restrict the access to alcohol. So that's why we have a monopoly who's controlling all the sale of the wine and hard liquor. But the beer is sell at the corner store, but the one in Hardiker is sell in the Monopoly, and it's still a thing that is coming from the prohibition. But we always had access to alcohol in Quebec.
But that's strange, because I've been traveling a lot, and Quebec is kind of a mix of a lot of countries, you know, because you can buy beer at the corner store or the grocery store like here, but in Ontario you can't do that. You know, it's only the government stores. So, but in Quebec, anything imported is very expensive, because everything has to go through our government stores, the SAQ, So nobody really does import in Quebec, because it's too complicated, it's too long, it takes 6 months before you get the beer, and at the end you will pay usually two and a half the price that the brewery will sell the beer at the SAQ. So in the end, nobody does it. That's why in Quebec, you know, we drink Quebec beers. And for us, it's pretty frustrating, because we don't have access to all those amazing American beers that we'd love to be able to buy at the corner store. It really sucks, It really sucks. So
you have a place that you go to outside of Quebec to get the beer, I'm sure. I'm Vermont. Sure you get that all together.
Yeah, Winooski in Vermont, Not too far. So.
Yeah, it's just an hour drive, so it's not too bad.
Can you buy beer in Vermont and bring it up to Canada?
Yeah, of course, there's some rules, like after 2 days spent in the U.S., you have the right to bring back one case of 24 bottles. But of course, we'll always bring a lot more, but you have to just declare, you know, what you brought. declare the limit, and then you're
that's
okay.
Why you travel with your girlfriend,
yeah,
your wife.
Exactly. We got, yeah. Actually, that's funny
everybody
because
a case.
We got searched once coming back from the U.S. Getting back into Quebec, and this only time we didn't bought anything, and that was true. We didn't bring any beer back, and the custom officers just didn't believe us, and they searched our cars completely, you know, our luggage and everything. So now I know I declare something. That's the best way to get through the border.
So you declare something, so they
declare the limit, because if you say I'm not sure, you know, I've got big bottles, small right. bottles, they say how much,
then so, it's a cavity search.
Yeah, so you declare the limit, and that's all right, you know, just go through. That's then.
Sometimes a cavity search is fun.
Didn't went through that yet. I hope. No. I hope not.
Is there pictures?
but a bit in the same way that in the States, we in Quebec we had like many breweries, but the smaller been bought by the bigger one, and we finished by three major breweries that basically brewing the same thing. And in the mid 1980, some microbrewery start. To happen on the market because there was like nothing else, and people was asking for something new because they start traveling and say, oh, you know what, beer can have color, beer can have flavor, actually. Oh yeah, it's okay, I have flavor, yeah, it is. And then some microbrewery just pop up, and but for sure it's we, you know, we start drinking at 18, it's legal, and at home I'm drinking wine since I'm something like 5, not every day. But you know, at Christmas you have like a sip of wine. And when you're 6, you have 2 sip, and then when you're 7, you have 3 sip, and then you finish with a glass when you're 13 or 14, and then when you're 18, you're used to deal with alcohol. You don't get any crazy.
By the time you're my age, you're drinking bottles and bottles. And
by 16, you get drunk. But I must say, the overall culture about alcohol in Quebec is pretty relaxed compared to what I've seen in the U.S. You know, we're always surprised when we go out in the U.S. You know, even if you look like you're 15, you know, you get ID'd and everything. So there seem to be a lot of fear around alcohol here, and I understand why, because it's pretty much, you know. It's, you know, it's very enforced.
It's kind of like a game here. It's kind of like a game. It seems that the if the city can bust a bar for selling to a minor, they get a big fine.
Well,
it turns into this like cat and mouse game of trying to collect.
We always feel guilty in the U.S. when we drink alcohol or we buy alcohol.
You feel guilty?
I come back to the Vermont Brewers Fest again. You know, those people are crazy. I mean, not the brewers from Vermont, but the people. They have their this.
No, they're crazy. That's for sure.
The people checking out, you know, for all those rules. You know, D something. I don't. The Department of Liquor Control, DLC, I think, in Vermont. They're crazy. They have people all around the festival. And you know, as a brewer, you know, our fun being in a festival is just to share beer, you know, with our fellow brewers.
That's what it's all about.
And give beer if you want to, but there you can't. You know, you really have to get a ticket from every beer you see, you give.
You've
to someone.
You've got to count for the
tickets. But if you take only one sip of beer, you're not allowed to go back behind your booth and serve beer. It's crazy.
And they've got observers there.
Oh yeah. Mostly since
that's
from,
insane.
We from Quebec, you know, they know.
And
they
Dave
know we're
Broderick
crazy,
lives in Vermont, and he lives with this kind of.
So
Dave, tell me about this stuff.
So we've seen all sort of, and even it's funny when you go to the JBF, you know, the card, the ID, everything, everyone, you know, even if you look 65, you know, you with gray hair and everything, everybody has to get to show his ID. So there's this kind of not illegal, but I would say, you know, very controlled way of seeing.
Does Vermont have a maximum age of drinking? Like when you get over 65, you can't drink anymore?
Probably, you know.
Maybe.
You're getting too old for that. Maybe dangerous for you.
But even in Canada, province to province, there's they don't deal with the alcohol the same way. Some province have an older minimum age drinking, like 19.
Right.
But in Quebec, it's a bit more like European feeling. So, like in France, you know, they no big deal about beer or about wine.
I know in England it's like that. They have a drinking age, but nobody really cares. If they actually enforced the drinking laws in England, half the pubs would close.
Yeah.
They would. They'd be gone because half the business is, you know, 15, 16, 17 year olds, and they're not getting hammered. They're growing up in a beer culture, and they're having a beer with their friends, and that's where they go. It's a place to gather. Mm-hmm. It's very civilized. We don't have that here, and it's a shame. And as a bar owner, you know, I'm very careful. I've got teenage children as well, and I have to look after that, you know. But it's a cat and mouse game, and B, it's, I think that beer and wine should be a part of the culture. It should be a part of raising a child, you know.
It seems that everybody in the U.S. is afraid of fighting those laws. And I've seen, you know, we, as brewers, we receive often the American Brewer Magazine, and they talk about that a lot. And so every time I read an article about this, I'm still amazed, you know. It seems to be getting, you know, worse and worse every year. So I think it's about time that somebody do something, but, you know.
Maybe it's your job. Maybe you should run for president. Or whatever you have over there.
You know, I wished for a long time that I'd been a lawyer, so I can do.
In Colorado, the new governor was a brewer.
John Hinckley,
yeah, the Winco Brewery, and was it Boulder or Denver?
Denver, the mayor of Denver.
So that's not so. But you guys coming here gives us a lot of influence and ideas about how to live our lives. You know? And we never drank either.
Yeah.
But so going back to Montreal, okay, you have a big festival every year, the Mondial. What's that like? Is that something that you participate in?
Oh yeah, we're there every year. Of course, for us, it's a big festival in Quebec. It's over 5 days. There's probably something like 80,000 people coming through.
80,000 people.
Yeah, it's 5 days from 11 a.m. till 10 a.m. Every day except Sundays. It closes a bit earlier, but for us, it's the main festival in Quebec. And what's cool about this festival is they really give themselves the trouble to bring in beers that we can't find in Quebec usually. So we have got beer from U.S., from Sweden, from
so they can bring it to the festival. So they can, it's a special.
They import themselves the beer. So for Quebec, you know, beer lovers, and for us, it's always a treat because.
So it's really for you guys. It's your way to get exposed to other beers that you usually wouldn't.
Basically, yes. That's the only occasion we have in Quebec to really have the chance to taste different beers.
So should we go up there, or is it worth us visiting?
It's worth it.
No, we shouldn't go.
Yeah, I mean, for any American, you know, I've been to so many amazing beer fests in the U.S. where there's all those amazing beers from the U.S. and are all around the world. Mm-hmm. And then in Quebec, for you, it won't be anything much, you know, anything new, but except if you want to taste, you know, what's happening in Quebec, because most of the small, newer breweries are there also.
I've got a friend who's got a restaurant, Steve Beaumont.
Yeah, that's in Toronto.
Toronto.
Oh, it's in Toronto, right? Yeah. Okay, sorry.
It's the other country.
Other country.
But yeah, it's definitely worth it, you know, for tasting Quebec beers, because all the most interesting breweries are there. And for us, it's even like, you know, a conference. You know, we just get together and talk and exchange ideas. And
because the other most interesting brewing we have in Quebec are also really small, and they doesn't bottle or a lot, or they doesn't export. So it's a way to see them in the same place at that festival.
Sure. About how many small microbreweries or brew pubs are there in Montreal or Quebec?
Montreal is 11 now, I think.
11.
11 or 12. Another one is about to open. So I think that's 11, yeah.
There's another one that I've had, the Hopfenstark.
It's a 30-minute east of Montreal.
Did he used to work with you guys?
Yeah, one of the founders, now he's not there anymore, but one of the founders used to work for us as a waiter for a long time.
So that's the connection.
Yeah.
He wasn't a brewer, he was a waiter.
Well, actually, the owner...
And a DJ, very good DJ also.
Yeah. But Hugues and Fred, I know them since I'm like 15. Actually, the owner of Option Start probably drank some of my first beer I brewed, because I know him since I'm a teenager. And Hugues' cousin worked for us because...
How did you start brewing? Did you start brewing like in your college dorm?
Actually, I wasn't in the dorm. I was in a small apartment with the 5-gallon
bucket. The carboy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I started the really traditional way.
I think it's a great way for nerds to be popular, to make their own beer. Not to say that you're a nerd. You're a very handsome, very handsome gentleman. You know.
Well, actually, it's a friend of mine. I was working as a building painter for a summer to getting my money to get to go to school, and he started his home brewing. I tasted his beer, and it wasn't so bad. It wasn't perfect, but there was already more flavor than in the regular beer I could find on the market. And say, okay, you can brew at home, and okay, I looked the starter kit and say, well,
that's even fun. The starter kits. That's like it's so much better than what you're used to drinking.
Exactly.
Usually,
so. But I, you know, I always study in science. I always been involved with biological science, what I like. So the fermentation process really, you know, got me right at the start. So wow, I transform sugar into alcohol. There's yeast. Wow, you know. So that's why I've been interested so fast by more than just doing cheap beer.
Right.
And it was really the process itself that kicked me right away. And so I want to know more and more and more.
Cool. Hey, we just had two different beers. Luke Beam. Yeah. What was the first one? It was stronger.
Yeah. It's called Iseki Nicho. Actually, a beer that we would like to bottle.
Eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
As soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
It's our first collaboration that we made. It's a triangular collaboration, if we can say. Me, Jean-François, and my good friend from Japan, Ego Sato, from Shigakogen Brewery. I go to Japan every year, so I know a lot about the beer there, and I really love this Imperial Stout. And in Japan, you know, they never really work with saison yeast before, so he was really interested. So I introduced him the saison yeast, and we tried to do something hybrid between something kind of Imperial Stout with saison yeast. So we came up with this beer, which is...
I got a silly question. Pretty,
Imperial Log Saison.
Yeah. Is it difficult bringing yeast to Japan from Canada?
I don't know. I never.
Oh, I thought
never.
You said no, saison yeast.
We brewed it in Montreal.
He brewed it here. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He came here. I see. Okay.
Yeah. So after that, I went to brew it with him in Japan, but we use his.
You use their.
His own yeast.
Local yeast.
No. It's probably a Y yeast or you know Y labs. Yeah.
And do you get any of it? You know, when you make your beer using grains and hops and yeast, where does that come from? Is there local Canadian products?
Hops, actually, we buy it mostly from the U.S. market. I'm dealing with the U.S. broker, and probably three quarter of my hops now is grown in USA, and the last quarter is from mostly Germany. The malt is a lot from Canadian malt, but the specialty malt I work a lot with Weyermann, which is a German big German malting plant. But they do really, really great specialty malt. I really like what they do.
We're not afraid to say it, Weyermann.
No,
they're great.
Yeah, they're great.
I love them.
Big shout out.
Yeah.
So, again, one more time.
Weyermann.
And where are they based?
They're in Bamberg.
Bamberg,
yeah. Of course.
Bamberg.
Wonderful city. So, and great smoked beer.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's hold on that. Let's take a little break on Beer Sessions Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Our sponsor is greatbrewers.com, a great site to learn more about beer and events and everything about the beer world, greatbrewers.com. And we're supported by goodbeerseal.com, the Good Beer Seal Association of New York City Good Beer Bars. We're here with Dude to Seal, the cool guys from Montreal. We got Ray Dieter, Jimmy Carboni, having a lot of fun. We are drinking some really good beers. Luke Bim, what's this next beer that we're drinking?
This beer is called Dernière Volonté, which is it's a Belgian blonde beer, dry up. So yeah, we, in the maturation process, we just put the hop, infuse the hop in at cold temperature. And
You're not as excited about this beer. Is this beer boring to you?
No, actually not. No, but it's just that I mixed it with another beer in my glass, so it didn't.
He's confused.
Yeah,
because so many beers have so much color and they're stronger, and I like this beer a lot. Yeah, it's the first time I've ever tried.
Can I try some?
Actually, we just opened another version of it. It's the same beer that was aged for 6 months in the Pinot Noir barrels. Yeah. And now I think we start to get some Brettanomyces flavors.
Is that the one that I have in my hand right now?
Yeah.
It's been aged. Yeah.
So I think this is, I'm not a big fan usually of barrel-aged beers, but
me neither.
Yeah. Thank you. And this one, I must say, however, was pretty well done. And it kind of... reconciled me with barrel-aged beer.
It's very light for a...
Stefan, when you guys are really kind of in an independent world, you're in Montreal, you've got different influences, who do you most see yourselves emulating in Montreal? Do you see yourselves being like Belgian or European or New World?
Actually, we like to think ourselves as Montreal brewers, being able to receive all those influences at the same time and having absolutely no tradition behind us. Keeping us from trying stuff. This is what we see often when we go to Europe, either in Belgium or Germany or...
Yeah, Germany especially.
Yeah. They will... It seems that all the brewers there feel like they have to stick to a certain style because this is where they were born and this is what is brewed in this region and everything.
We've had that conversation with German people.
Yeah.
About the purity laws over there.
Yeah, purity law, I think, means nothing. But.
I think the Dernière Volonté, which means actually your last will, it's a beer that I really like myself. It's an example. It's a Belgian-style beer, but we do dry hop more like the British tradition. I'm not the first one who did that, actually, because Orval is doing that. You know, I just applied it on a different beer style. But I didn't stick with the traditional way to do a beer. So I just worked on a recipe. I said, you know what? If I could have a hop punch at the end, it would be
have a
nice.
What?
A hop punch, like a...
Hot punch.
I'll translate for you.
Hop punch.
Hop punch at the end.
Okay. I think it would be nice. So that's why I work on this recipe. And this is the freedom we have in Montreal, I think, because we're in the middle of different culture, brewing culture, but without any tradition that forced us to do something.
Right, so you're on your own. You're out there in the wilderness in Canada, just wandering aimlessly through the woods and the trees, and you've got to create your own beer traditions.
Yeah,
you're not stuck by purity laws. You're not stuck into
absolutely not
crazy lager laws like
absolutely
in America.
Nothing.
But you have your own traditions. You have weird food like poutine.
Oh yeah, I mean poutine.
Gravy and cheese on French fries. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Poutine is the best food after drinking beer.
And then you also have like the smoked sausages, right? Like there's a lot of Jewish food up there. The smoked sausages,
mostly smoked meat.
Montreal smoked meat. Yeah.
What is poutine?
Poutine is French fries with curd cheese and gravy on it.
Yum.
Yeah, it is really good.
Yeah, barbecue, gravy.
It's almost like an American Southern dish, you know?
It's like
gravy and fries and all that.
Okay, let me ask you about the Cajuns, right? Because down in Louisiana, all these guys, the Cajuns, they're down there. They're from Canada. They came down from you guys, right?
Well, actually, they were mostly like the eastern part of like New Brunswick area.
Oh, okay.
So, and historically, point of view, they wasn't from the same. The boat people
was boat coming. People?
No, not the boat, but I mean
both.
Both people was coming from France, but not the same area of France. So they didn't have exactly the same tradition. And they've been kicked out by the British
right.
to take the land, and they
came down the Mississippi,
yeah,
all the way down to Louisiana. And
exactly,
I want to go there someday. I really, have
really, you never been to Louisiana?
No. You got to come down. I got this some one? Bars down there.
We Are you serious?
We'll have a few, oh,
yeah, this would be Dune de Sale goes to DBA New Orleans. That would be awesome.
You know that we missed one CBC that's a few years ago. That was in New Orleans, and me and Jeff talked about it. We wanted to go, but we didn't go. And I think the year after Katrina hit New Orleans,
yes, it did.
And I really kicked myself in my butt. Oh, come on. Why didn't we go?
It's not too late. We would still love to have you down there.
Okay, cool. Let's
tell us one more beer. What's the next one? Let's taste one more beer. And while we're talking about that, we will talk about the Beer Sommelier, which is it's available on greatbrewers.com. And what's cool about it is we're gonna do the Beer Sommelier right now, food and beer pairing. All right. So I'm going to ask Ray. Ray, we're drinking this really cool beer right now, this dry-hopped, you know, blonde beer.
Lovely beer.
What type of food would you eat with this?
I think that would go great with Indian food.
Oh, yeah?
Like a spicy Indian food over on 6th Street. No,
you know what
I'm
I was
wrong?
Thinking? Because Bree's doing the Beer Sommelier right now on greatbrewers.com. I'm going to say it would have been good for turkey.
I got that wrong.
This, what's the beer that I'm drinking? Luke
Dernier Volonté?
This one? I think this would be a very good turkey beer. This would have been a good holiday beer for Thanksgiving.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, you know, maybe duck or something, you know.
But again with cheese.
Cheese too, yeah.
I had a curried turkey.
You guys are awesome. Well, okay. Now we got our email question, guys, because we have listeners out there from Philadelphia to Florida to now Montreal and New York as well. This is from Mark Petruszewski from Syracuse, New York, which is almost in Canada. This is a really good question, and we have two answers. We're going to have the Montreal answer and the New York City answer. Okay. Is it wrong to order a beer for lunch on a work day?
No, please do.
Depends what you do for a living, I think.
Well, like Ray, is it wrong to order a beer for lunch on a work day?
I insist on it, actually. I insist on it. If somebody's going to come into DBA, pretty much they have to have a beer for lunch if they're coming in at lunchtime, because we don't have food. I mean, every drink is a meal, as far as I'm concerned.
So beer is the perfect vegetarian diet.
I think it is.
Yes. But what about in Montreal? Is it common to have drinks at lunch?
Yeah, of course. Judiciel in Montreal, unfortunately, is not opened at noon. It will only open at 3 p.m., but most of people that go out, for food at lunch will usually, order a drink. Yeah, I think it's pretty common there. Yeah. So there's nothing bad with that. You're allowed to do it. You're a big guy, you're an adult. You can do it. It's all right. Yeah. We like that.
What about you, JF?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, it's I think it's just split the day in two halves. So relax. It's lunchtime. And then you're going to be just more effective during the afternoon. Not if you take five drinks, but if you take one drink, it's going to be a good afternoon for you. So I totally agree with that.
All right. That's a good question.
Me and Bree endorse it as well.
Thank you. Well, out here at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you can't go without having a beer at lunch.
They had the three martini lunch. That was a tradition in Washington, D.C., right?
Three martini
lunch.
That's a lot.
And that was actually, they were allowed to charge it off to their companies. Three martinis.
Three martinis, yeah. You must start to feel a bit
relaxed, and everything changes after one martini. But that's a whole other show.
Wow. This is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Why did you guys name your brewery Dune de Sale?
Well, it's a name I picked up when I was still a home brewer. And by this time, I was a lot influenced by the Belgian brewer, and especially by the Trappist tradition of brewing. And, in Quebec, we had a pretty, pretty strong Catholic presence.
Background, I would say.
Background, yeah. And even though we never had any Trappist who was brewing, and but I just wanted to do like a link between that that brewing culture and our Catholic tradition in Quebec. And obviously, I'm not a monk, so I didn't show it to you.
What do you mean, obviously? We have
Well,
he's got two children. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, that's true. That doesn't mean anything.
So I just made a word like Dieu du ciel, and in French, the sense is more like oh my God. So it's just when somebody was drinking my beer, I want, you know, they feel like oh my God, it's so good. It's basically the play we had with
so
that.
So like
name.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and if you want to say it on the radio, it's okay.
We can't say it on the radio here. We can say
on a positive way. Yeah.
So in America, you can say bad words on the radio.
Okay.
Is that true?
I think so.
Jack?
He doesn't care.
We're not really on the radio, though. We're on the internet. So
this is the new future of radio. Rolling Stone magazine had an article about how the kids aren't listening to the real radio anymore. Roll on.
Oh, they're listening to Heritage Radio Network, baby. Let's go.
That's where the kids
are. We've had a lot of discussions with other people who are doing, you know, radio shows and podcasts, and there's nothing quite like being able to take that link. Like, you guys are on the show tonight. You can put that link on your website, and you can tell all your friends about it.
For sure.
Go back and listen to it tomorrow. You can go to iTunes and download 10 episodes at one time. In fact, Dan Shelton, this is what I really want to know about, because Dan Shelton's a really cool guy. We love Shelton Brothers, and we love his beers. Their blog's always like 3 months behind, but I looked on it today, and I think Dan was on the show back in like, I don't know, May, and it's up on the blog on sheltonbrothers.com. They've got the link. They're really proud of the time that they come on the show, and they mentioned Ray Dieter, their buddy from DBA, which is cool.
How
do you guys, this is what I want to know. There's a lot of importers out there. There's a lot of people selling beer all around the world, especially in the United States. How did you guys ever meet Dan Shelton, and why did you work with him?
Okay, I'll try to make this short. We went in 2001 and 2002, went to the Chicago Real Ale Fest, and we're pretty impressed with the festival, you know. And we just started at the time to do our stuff at the DCL in Montreal, Cask Ale. So after the second year being there, I met people like, I forgot his name.
Randy Mosher.
Yeah. And so I told him, you know, I would love to be able to bring my beers next year, you know, for the festival. So, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. So I get back to Quebec, and then I realized that to ship only 3 casks, I need an importer in the U.S. That's the only way to do it. So I start sending emails, you know, to big importers, you know, Be United, Merchant Divin and everything, and some others, and all of them just answer to me, you know, we don't do that, you know, it's not worth it, you know, only 3 casks, who cares? So, okay. And then I think it's Randy that gave me the link to the Shelton Brothers.
Who did?
Randy Mosher.
Okay.
So I contacted them, you know, general email, and then it's Ron Extract from Chicago at the time who answered me and said, yeah, sure, we could do that. We've heard about you a bit, you know, I think you brew good beer. So yeah, we can do that, no problem. So it started like this, and then it happened that in 2003 the festival was killed by the city. So right. it didn't happen again. We're pretty sad about this. But then Ron came back to us and said, "Okay, would you be interested in you know, exporting beer to US?" I said, "Yes, but we're so small. You know, we can barely keep up with the demand in Montreal." So for the fun of it, in the following years, I think we sent 3 batches of Péché Mortel, and each time it was 50 cases only. So that was pretty much for the fun of it. And then in 2007, we opened the other brewery, and this is when we had the capacity to export a bit more, which is not still that much. And we've been working with them. And what's funny, when we started to, before we even sent the first batch, Dan Shelton came to Montreal with his wife Tessa, and to see what we're brewing, you know, what our beers were like. And so it just showed up at the Montreal pub, and actually it was on Saint Valentine's Day, you know, February 14th. Aww. And they were celebrating their
anniversary is on the 14th.
Yeah,
yes.
their anniversary on the
Dan Shelton and Tessa got married on Valentine's Day. Can you believe that?
Yeah, isn't it nice? So he just come, and you know Dan, you know, he's something like six feet something, and you know he's not that tall. Yeah, he's taller than me anyway. So we had something like 8 or 9 beers on tap at the time, and I told them, okay, so what do you want to try? And so, oh, I'll try them all. Okay, so I'll serve you tasters. No, I want, you know, full glasses. Are you serious? Okay, so I did the same, you know. But by the time we went through the menu, and I came out with some special bottles and everything, I was completely drunk, but it was still okay. So This is how it all started, and then we started to just, like I said before, exporting some small batches here and there. And yeah, those guys are pretty cool, and we then met Will Shelton and the other people working there.
Will's cool. Dan's not so cool.
Don't say that on the radio.
BR is pretty cool, right?
BR is very cool. We love BR in New York. She's doing a great job with our beers.
And all the Sheltons are pretty cool.
Actually. Everybody we
except
met from
Dan.
I hope you're his friend. Eh? No, we love Dan also, but we don't see him often. That's very sad.
Here's BR from Sheldon.
I have to say, I can't have Dan usurp me, because I've also spent Valentine's Day at GDCL, where I was up in Montreal. Bob, my boyfriend, and I were up there, and we thought, what better place to spend it than GDCL?
Drinking aphrodisiac?
Exactly. I don't know if it was aphrodisiac, but we certainly had a lot of beers.
Yeah, I met BR like almost at the beginning of the GDCL, actually. She was coming to Montreal quite on a regular basis.
That's true.
And
yeah, I mean, I used to go up quite frequently for work, and you know, just being into beer, what found out about it's like, oh, we have to go there. I saw Stéphane doing a fantastic heavy metal cover band. He had shown up one
oh, that's
time,
true,
like,
you
right
were
before,
there.
Right before New Year's, and it was like, you know, grand spectacle. It was like heavy metal, I've known Dan for many years prior to working with him, and he says, you know, you go up to Montreal a lot. Are there any places that are good? I was like, well, you know, of course you have to go to GDCL. They don't bottle. This was at the time prior to bottling, but you know, certainly everything that comes out of there. I've never had a bad beer. That's, you know, and I've had pretty much many of their beers. So
Looking forward to
tomorrow night, in fact. With
guys,
JF,
I'll ask JF. Does JF and Luke and the other guy, Stefan. JF, did you start bottling for the export market?
Not just for the export market. I did start bottling because I was quite looking for a new challenge, and same thing, people was asking for my beer, and my brew pub wasn't keep up the demand. And we decided to, even at the brew pub, the silly thing, we had to buy beer because we could not make enough beer. So we said,
what do you say buy beer? What does that mean?
Buying beer. So
from somebody else?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Another brewery?
Yeah.
That you labeled as your own, you were lying
no,
to
no,
your
no.
customers.
No, we were selling as a real other beer, but it wasn't making no sense.
It's so about volume.
We had to change our level. So, but for sure, Dan was there since the beginning and say, because yeah, we made like I think 3 times a small batch of Pêche Mortelle for the U.S. market. But for us, you know, we had to pile the skid on the sidewalk, basically. And when it was raining, we need to put a tarp to protect the skid. So, and the truck was coming. It's a small street, so it was a nightmare to do that job.
So before, I wasn't joking about when they pulled up with a pickup truck to pick the beer up. That's exactly what happened.
It was looking like that.
I remember the first time we did the release in the U.S. with the Pêche Mortelle, mm-hmm. you know. We were at the Moan and Dove in Amherst in Massachusetts, and we were still putting the stickers, you know, by hand in the bottle in the back of the bar.
Half an hour before the event.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But we always had in mind when we opened the other brewery. We always had in mind that part of our production would be sold outside Quebec, and this is we knew there was some demand for it, and for us it was kind of, you know, of a nice backup to have to make sure if for some reason doesn't work that much in Quebec, we know that we can export part of our production. So yeah, it really helped to know that there was some demand outside Quebec.
And at the same time, we don't put too much border in our head. We just basically want to send our beer where we have people who will enjoy it. So, and in the one of the silly thing is for us, it's almost easier to export the beer in the States than other province, because we have some regulation to bring the beer from province to province.
So it's easier to sell the beer in America than it is in Canada?
Yeah, technically, yes.
Usually, yeah. For much
so you're saying Quebec's cooler than the rest of Canada?
Importing in Quebec is very difficult.
Oh. So.
No, but for microbrewery, it is, because we do self-distribution. We basically just build up a retail network
to the corner stores or grocery store, specialized store, and that's it. So it's pretty easy.
There's no three-tier system in
exactly.
Quebec.
So
do you guys have a horse-drawn carriage that brings the beer to the corner store?
Yeah, of course, it's in Quebec.
Yeah. And during the winter, we have the skidoo.
Yeah.
You don't have a sled drawn by horses?
No, it's just too
slow. In Montreal, do they drink more beer in the winter or in the summer?
Oh,
it never stops.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah. I got to get up there, man. Last time I was there was at Expo 67.
Oh God! You know, I wasn't born. I wasn't born by this time.
I was. But, and I had so much fun.
Expo 67. How old are you? Like 12 years old?
No, I'm not that. No, I was a little kid. I was a little kid. We took a bus up there. I don't want to talk about it.
But just quickly to say, the main reason why we start to bottle our beers is one of JF's dream is to have our angel, you know, our logo on the cap. So JF really, it's one of his dream. He wants to have that angel on the cap, and it's still a black cap with nothing on it. But yeah, it will happen.
But I gotta add that the other reason that we really, really started the bottle is that we can have Péché Mortel all year long and for ourselves. Yeah. That's a very, you know, selfish reason.
But let's plug the last two beers. So you didn't bring? Did you bring Péché Mortel?
Yeah, but we didn't drink it yet.
This one is what? Please pronounce it.
Okay, so you had a glass of the Solstice d'hiver. We opened that bottle because the Shelton import a batch of that. It's our barley wine. So winter solstice. It's to celebrate the winter solstice. It's our barley wine. I'm not sure. Maybe BR can has to that. I know the batch been sent to the Shelton brothers. So probably they start distributing in the.
Yeah, I believe it arrived in New York about a week and a half ago. So it should be appearing in bars and on shelves right about. And I think it was started to ship out early last week, and the rest of the beers will be going out this week. So
but I think it's
out.
I think it's only 450 cases overall for the US.
Yeah, so it's quite a small volume. So it's kind of more like a Montreal style barley wine actually. So
what are we pouring right now?
And the other one is rigor mortis. It's the
rigor mortis.
Rigor mortis. Yeah,
like when you die and you get stiff.
Yeah. Exactly. Why I chose that name? One of my friends is
embalmer, maybe?
Embalmer, you know, the guy?
the 6 feet under, you know?
An embalmer?
Yeah. One of my friends is doing that job. You know, there's people...
He must have great parties.
Yeah. Well, actually, he's a pretty nice guy. So we were talking about rigor mortis and the biological point of view of that. And I said, you know what? I think it could be a great beer name. So we
rigor mortis.
The rigor mortis. So it's a lineup of beer of Belgian inspired by like Trappist style. Yeah. So we have this one. It's the app, the quadruple. But tomorrow at the Blind Tiger, we have the blonde, the double, the triple, the quad.
And that's it.
We have a new one coming up.
There'll be 40 different beers on draft tomorrow, right?
There'll be 28 different beers.
Only 28,
plus three on cask, but among those three 31. Casks would also be on draft. So.
Wow, so many beers from Dudasil will be at Blind Tiger tomorrow night.
I'll be there.
New York City, December 1st. And Good Beer Seal and Beer Sessions Radio were sponsoring an event called Brooklyn Wort with Brooklyn Brew Shop. Is it Brew Shop or Homebrew Shop? Brooklyn Homebrew, and over in Brooklyn, it's going to be in February. Check out goodbrewseal.com for some really cool things going on, including this Saturday at Jimmy's Number 43. There's the Battle of the Belgians. We have the best of the American and versus the best of the Belgians. It's going to be pretty cool.
Nice.
Tonight, Sierra Nevada's 30th anniversary celebration at Rallenham. And coming up, a three-day Harvest Fest at Beer Table featuring J.W. Lee's Harvest Ale. Go to goodbrewseal.com for more information. I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Beer Sessions Radio is supported by the Good Beer Seal. You can also find Beer Sessions Radio on Facebook. Friend us and talk more about us. Thanks to Ray, Stefan, Jean-Francois, and Luc for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee, Brie O'Connor, and engineer Nat Wiener. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Au revoir. Merci. Ciao.
Listen to your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow.